Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight it's my pleasure to welcome back Kate Shattuck. She's a medical intuitive and an animal communicator who uses her gifts with her clients in a unique way. She created her business, Radiant Animals, after becoming aware that even the best Western medicine cannot always provide animals or people with what is needed for optimal happiness and well-being. With degrees in engineering and accounting, Kate is analytic by nature. Her journey into alternative health world began after she sustained a severe cat bite and became critically ill. Given a grim prognosis by the mainstream medical community, Kate chose to explore holistic and spiritual options for living successfully with chronic illness. After retirement from corporate life, with her empathy and love for animals still a driving force, Kate's innate intuitive abilities truly began to emerge. Although her passion for the animal kingdom was originally her focus, the scope of Radiant Animals has expanded and now includes energy work, intuitive and mediumship readings, speaking, writing, and teaching. By integrating her scientific and theoretical education with alternative healing modalities and spiritual practices, Kate has created a holistic approach allowing her clients, both human and animal, to experience healthier, happier lives. At the beginning of this journey, Kate questioned the many challenges on her path, yet ultimately illness became the catalyst leading her to her destiny. Today, Kate joyfully and compassionately works with people and animals around the world and enjoys the amazing adventure her life has become. And to find her on the World Wide Web, all you need to do is go to radiantanimals.com. That's the plural of animals, or plural of animal, I should say. So with that said, let me welcome Kate. Kate, once again, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great, David. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you with us. We had a great show the last time, and I'm looking forward to another one. And there's always a lot of interest in people that have an interest in animals, cats, dogs, whatever. And you certainly have got a special niche within that particular field. How did you actually get in touch with your gifts as being a medical intuitive?
Well, it was interesting because I have spoken to animals and talked to animals my entire life. I actually thought everybody did. I didn't know any different until I was probably in my early 20s. And when I caught on that other people couldn't understand that that dog was safe, but that dog was going to take your arm off. They couldn't differentiate. And it wasn't necessarily a matter of body structure, body position from the animal. It was what's their intent. And it's like, seriously, you can't tell the difference? And so I have always had that ability. And my family's gotten used to me having side conversations like, who are you talking to? Oh, I'm talking to the dog, the cat, the wasp. But 10 years ago, one of my cats was quite ill. And I lived in a state where you could take a cat or a dog to an acupuncturist if you had a letter from the veterinarian. And I had a phenomenal acupuncturist and a phenomenal veterinarian at the time. So I took the kitty in, and she had some medical issues. She had some very deep emotional issues. She had been taken away from her mama very, very young. The mama was dying, and her surrogate mama had just passed away, and she was a mess. She was grieving herself to death, and animals will absolutely do that. And so I took her to the acupuncturist and said, can you help with all of these things? And I had a pretty long list, and she said, sure, no problem. And she did the needles, but then she did some additional work. And when it was all done, she programmed my cat. And programmed the cat are not three words that most of us can handle going together because they just sound so contrary. And she scheduled the cat to do self-cleaning. So the cat would go in and look for the last of the infection every day for 3 days, every 45 minutes, and the cat's body would clean out the infection. And I thought, okay, you know, again, she's a phenomenal acupuncturist. I had dealt with her for years myself. And took the kitty home. The kitty stretched out, sound asleep in the middle of my desk. And I noticed that from the tip of her head to the tip of her tail, she would shimmy like the fur was moving. And it happened, and then it stopped. And then it happened again, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, I broke my cat. And then I realized, I started paying attention to the clock. It was every 45 minutes.
Wow.
Like, oh, I have got to learn how to do that. Because being able to talk to them was very wonderful, and I really enjoyed it because they have great insight, but not being able to help them was very frustrating. So I spent several months negotiating with the man who developed the technique my acupuncturist used to allow me into his training. And he only allowed people with a medical background. Well, mechanical engineer is not quite the same as, you know, medical doctor or any of the derivatives of a doctor. And so he finally allowed me into the training, kind of as a test to see if I could follow what he was saying. And we were both pleased that I actually had an easier time of it than the people with a medical background, because he would say, well, do X and Y will happen. And I was like, okay, I'll do X and Y will happen. Whereas the people with a medical background, no, that's not possible. And it was interesting. And it was through, that was the first of the many, many protocols that I've been trained in, that I realized I could do the medical work remotely. And I can go in, and the animals have taught me a huge amount. There's no doubt about it. The animals have taught me a lot. But I could connect to the animal. You know, if there's, in the case of this class, they had a barn, and they had 17 barn cats. And I was able to identify which barn cat had the issue and work, and I described the barn cat to the people, and they knew exactly which one it was. And go in and do the work to help the cat identify what was the problem and then do some things to help the cat. And that very much reinforced the idea of, holy smokes, this is cool. And I tell people all the time, I probably have the most fun job in America.
It sounds amazing. Absolutely amazing. Mind-blowing, actually.
Well, and there are definitely people who are like, what do you mean you can do that? And, of course, I tell the story often about when people kind of understand what I do. And they'll tell me, well, you can't work on a dog in Egypt. And I said, oh, really? Why can I not work on a dog in Egypt? You don't speak Egyptian. And I look at him and I say, neither does the dog.
Right.
And they're like, oh, yeah, I guess not.
Well, I find it amazing. How does it work? Do you have any clue as to how it works that you can communicate with animals that far away and work on them medically?
Well, the thing is that, you know, I'm connecting to them telepathically. And via telepath, there is no limit. There's no distance when you're doing telepathic.
Yeah.
And what's really fascinating, this is the reason I have to ask for a photo, because if someone calls me up and said, could you work on my black cat? It's like, great, love to work on your black cat. and I call in your black cat, it's going to be every black cat you've ever owned, your parents have ever owned, your siblings have owned, your neighbors have owned, and pretty soon I have a rock concert of black cats. And it's like, okay, I really don't want to work with all you guys, so which one am I supposed to be working with? And that's the advantage of having a photo. It allows me to connect to an animal. And I have, I can connect via photo. I can connect via the person themselves. You know, I can go in, okay, if they're calm and centered, I can connect through the person to their animal. And it doesn't work so well when the people are agitated and upset, like with a lost animal. That's much, mm-hmm, much harder, because then I'm connecting into static. I'm not connecting into a clear channel. Because
that
the person's
sense.
Upset, animal's upset, and it's like, wow, this is not fun. But
yeah,
being able to connect into the exact animal, and it's been interesting because animals have the right, I firmly believe this, and the ability to not work with me. I have had out of the about, I'm almost at 3,000 animals I've worked on, I have had two that chose not to work with me. They wanted nothing to do with me. And it's funny because I ask people, well, can you guess what that might possibly have been? And they, you know, people say, oh, it had to have been a cat. And it's like, no, it's not a cat. It was dogs. In both cases, it was dogs.
Really?
And they're like, seriously, dogs? And I said, yeah. And in both cases, with the dogs being so reticent, not willing to talk to me, their people were incredibly private people. And their people were like, you don't need to know my business. You're not my family. And these dogs were mirrors of that.
Oh. Well, that makes sense, too.
Yeah. And again, this is the whole thing. I have had people ask me, well, can you go work with my neighbor's dog? Can you go work with my brother-in-law's dog? And the answer is only if I have their person's permission. I am not allowed to go in and do anything because they're not your animal. You don't have the right to interfere. And so if their person says, yes, you have permission, then that's fine. But I can't do it otherwise, because that's violation of trust. That's violation of the animal's trust, and I won't do that.
Sure. Well, we're going to be talking about some topics near and dear to you tonight, but what can callers on the line expect what kinds of things can they ask you to do, and what kinds of things can you help?
Well, I have had all kinds of things happen. I have one of the ones that I do spend a fair amount of time with is my animal ready to pass? They're not looking good. They're not responding. You know, whatever is going on, are they ready to pass? And it's hard for us. I have my own animals, and I agonize as much as anyone about, are they ready to go? Are they done? And, you know, they don't see death the same way we do. It's not, they are just going through a doorway. So it's not a huge traumatic thing for the majority of animals. There are some where it's an exception, and again, they're reflecting their person. But I can go in and I can talk to the animal and I can say, what's the deal? What do you need? And one of the things that I run into is the animal who says, yes, I want help. I want help to leave. Or, no, that's not necessary. I'm going within the next 24 or 48 hours. To the animal who, I want help, but mom can't take me to the vet because I don't want her driving home alone afterwards. And they are smart and so sensitive that is not an uncommon conversation. And then you ask the question, will the vet come to the house and help you? No, because I don't want them to have the bad memories. And so then you have to start, okay, and what about, and what about, and what about? And then eventually you'll find a scenario that the dog says, okay, we can do that. We can deal with it that way. And so helping the person understand that the dog or the cat isn't freaked out. the dog or the cat, it's kind of like graduating from eighth grade and going into high school. On one hand, it's like, oh, my goodness, I know eighth grade. I understand it. Now I'm going into high school. But on the other hand, it's just a graduation. It's just a moving on. And for animals, that's really what their viewpoint is. It's just a moving on. And to help the owners understand that, and to help the owners understand that the spirit of the animal isn't gone forever. I was working on some horses, about 3-4 months ago, and the lady who asked me to work on the horses, there were, I think, 7 horses, and she didn't tell me ahead of time that 2 of the horses had passed, and one of the horses I'd never worked on. And I was working with him, and he was describing himself, and he was showing me himself, and I was describing, and I'd never met the horse. I'd never seen a picture of the horse. And I was describing him, and it was funny. He identified himself very, very clearly with his color and his marking and everything, except in his next life, when he passed away, instead of being a pony, he turned into a Percheron. So he got way big. It's like, okay, whatever. So I get a lot of those questions. I get the questions a lot about allergies. There's a lot of allergy questions. And allergies, generally, there's 3 categories of allergy. It's something we eat, and whether you're an animal or a person, it's the same story. It's something we're ingesting, it's something we're contacting, or it's environmental. And people say, well, you know, my dog is never outside or my cat is never outside. It doesn't matter. You're outside, and you bring the stuff in on your clothes, on your shoes. You leave the window open, it blows in, et cetera. And to be able to help identify exactly what the animal is having an issue with does help. I was working with a client a couple weeks ago with a 125-pound pit bull, nice pit bull. And she had an ear infection, and the veterinarian said, I think it's an allergy, but we can't identify it. Well, I was able to identify exactly what the dog was allergic to. And the owner brought me the food and says, well, that's not in our food. That's not in her food. And I said, bring me the bag. And she brought me the bag. And sometimes, you know, if it's a distance client, then I say, take a photo of the contents and send it to me. And in this case, the second ingredient in the food was gluten. It was barley. It was pearl barley, which is a gluten food. And they didn't realize mm-hmm. that. And the dog happened to be allergic to gluten.
Oh.
So, yeah, and it's just being able to help people see, oh, that's why we've got an issue. Yeah, that's why we've got an issue. And it just helps a lot. And one of the things, you know, and I myself, I have animal communicators on speed dial for my own animals because I tell people sometimes with your own animal, it's kind of like a 14-year-old daughter. Yeah, if you've ever had the joy of a 14-year-old daughter, they are very good at not telling the parents anything. They'll tell their neighbor, they'll tell their aunt, they'll tell the school teacher, but they won't tell their parents anything. And so every now and again, I have to call my friends that are animal communicators and say, what on earth are they thinking? And I go in and talk to them and say, well, they're not really happy about this, and you've done that, and or they're just being brats. And sometimes that's the answer, is they're just being brats. Okay, as long as we understand.
Okay, well, we'll go to the calls in just a little while. We were talking about some special concerns for this summer as far as pets go. I wondered if you'd like to share some of those concerns.
I would very much like to because, of course, summer, we aren't always aware of what we're doing to our animals. I always walk my animal at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's no big deal. It might not be a big deal in January, February, but 4 o'clock in the afternoon in July, August, June, July, August, that sidewalk can be 140 degrees. And I actually, because I am fairly recently back into the dog-owning world, or being owned by dogs world, to be correct, and I did the research last fall, about, okay, at what temperature do you not take your dogs for a walk? And according to the American Kennel Association, you do not walk your dogs when it's over 80 degrees. And, you know, 80 degrees doesn't seem like that hot, but again, the sidewalk is so blistering hot that you can actually cause problems with their feet. And the other thing that is really important this time of year is water, fresh water, lots of fresh water. And, you know, people say, okay, I've got two dogs, I have one water dish. No. You have two dogs, you have two or three water dishes, because if you happen to live in a climate where it's very dry, which I do, I happen to live in New Mexico, and we have evaporation, we have huge evaporation. So if you've got one water dish and, the you know, one or two dogs, even little dogs, drinking out of it through the course of the day, plus evaporation, by 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you've got an empty water dish. And when it's really hot, that is not safe. We've got to be sure that we're keeping the animals hydrated. So that's kind of a double thing about summer is don't be taking them out when it's so hot. You know, yes, it's a pain in the neck to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to walk the dog, but you don't want to stress your dog. And I know people who walk their cats. I've had cats in the past that I've taken for walks. So if you've got a cat that likes to go for a walk, do it earlier in the morning. And the other thing that's nice about doing it earlier in the morning is you don't have competition from other people's dogs. There's not conflict and there's not interaction, which is a good thing. Which brings me to the second thing about summer, this summer that I'm very concerned about, is the new canine influenza virus. I hadn't even heard of anything about it, and I was just at my vet on Monday having my dogs with their annual checkup and their annual shots, et cetera. And I'm taking my dogs. We're making a road trip in a month, and we're going to go across a couple states. And a friend of mine just made a road trip, and she has a lovely dog that I was expecting to see, and her dog isn't with her. And I said, why isn't your dog with you? And she said her veterinarian highly recommended, one step away from insisted, that she not bring the dog because there is a canine influenza virus. And it's fairly new. It's a new strain of it, of course. It's very contagious. It's a respiratory infection in dogs. And it was found first in Florida. It's gone supposedly into 33 states total. Quite a problem in a lot of the states, especially the southern states, because that's where it hit first. And what they think is that the equine influenza virus, because it was originally in horses, that it's mutated to produce a canine strain. And what is happening is it's very contagious contact, dog-to-dog contact. It's also contagious from dishes, water bowls, et cetera, that have been touched by an infected dog. So, and the symptoms are a fever, cough, lethargic, reduced appetite, sneezing, discharge from the eye, et cetera. So it almost looks like the cough is almost like a kennel cough, which is the Bordetella virus. And
right.
It's just one of those things that, again, we don't need to be putting our animals through. And the other thing that is interesting about this, two things, is one, they're finding that this is also impacting cats. So if you have a household like I do, where you have dogs and cats, you have the risk of the cats becoming affected with it, not infected, but affected, that they can get into a virus-y type response. And if you have a young, healthy animal, dog or cat, it's not as big a deal, but if you've got an older animal or somebody who's got a compromised immune system, that's really not good. And it's interesting, when I was doing the research on this, they were saying, yes, it can affect cats. It can also affect guinea pigs and ferrets.
Really?
So you you could be taking your dog for a walk in the dog park, and he could be bringing something home that would be a problem for everybody. So that is definitely something to be very aware of. And it's just something that I'm not wanting to be hysteric, because that's certainly not my world. I'm way more pragmatic than that. However, it is something, especially if you are traveling with your animals or you're having company come from out of state or out of the area with an animal, you definitely want to have a conversation with your veterinarian about what protection, what vaccine do they need to protect them. So it's just, like I said, I hadn't even heard about it until yesterday, because the media has been very quiet on this one. And yet, when you go do the research, and just do the research, dog flu, on Google. You know, my buds at Google, do the research dog flu. And stuff's starting to pop up. And I was like, nope. We need to be aware of this, and we just need to protect our animals.
Well, thank you for bringing it to our attention. I appreciate that.
Hopefully I can help
somebody.
Well,
shall we go to the calls?
That would be awesome. Let's go to the call, see what we can do to help people.
All right. I've just talked with one of the callers on the line, and that's the first one, and that's Kathy. And, Kathy, you're live.
Hi. How are you tonight?
We're doing great, Kathy. How can we help you?
Well, I don't know if I should talk about myself or my animals.
Whichever one's bigger concern.
I've been in a lot of pain lately, and it's like my back and my foot and things hurting.
With no logical reason for it?
Arthritis, and the nerves are pressing against my back.
Oh, boy. Have you, obviously, you're under doctor's care about this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And have they explained that arthritis is an autoimmune disease?
Yeah, they have.
And the thing about autoimmune disease is that sometimes people understand and sometimes they don't, is autoimmune disease is when the body's attacking itself. And one of the things that I have seen, and of course I'm not an AMA doctor, so we have to be careful about how we say things, but one of the things that I've seen with autoimmune disease is when you can fix one irritant to the body, you can dramatically reverse a lot of problems from autoimmune. So one of the things that I would ask is, have you been tested for allergies?
Yes.
Have you been tested for weird basic things like milk, eggs, bread? Or have you been tested for the weeds and the flowers?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, cool. And has anybody suggested?
For me, I think it's a lack of sleep for me.
Well, and the problem is the pain causes lack of sleep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's this nasty little cycle that goes round and round and round and around. And
now I have tinnitus, you know, and like I wear hearing aids, and when I pull them out at night, you know, it's like the noise just starts.
Uh huh. Yep.
And then it's hard to fall asleep. I'm gonna have to get the white noise.
Yeah, well, and you know the thing is, you can do white noise fairly inexpensively to try it and see if it works. Get a box fan. Get a window box fan. Don't necessarily put it in the window, but get a
mm-hmm.
fan, not where it's blowing on you, but just where it's blowing in the background. Because a fan
yeah.
is a very cheap, inexpensive white noise, and if that helps you, then you can go get the fancy white noise machine should you choose, or otherwise you just keep your fan.
Well, I do have a fan by my bed, and when I put it on at night, my husband goes, I can't sleep with that thing on.
Yeah, and it's harder when you're having to do it with two people. There is no two ways about it. It's much harder.
Mm-hmm.
Have you looked into any alternative care, or are you strictly 100% AMA?
Oh, no. I mean, I haven't been to acupuncture in a while. Or no, I'm not. I would go for holistic. I just have to find someone around here.
Well, and that's the thing is, you know, I don't believe anything is an either or. I think it's an and. You know, we do this and. And, you know, we have to be very well educated ourselves on side effects because a lot of options provided by the medical community, the official medical community, have some pretty nasty side effects. And the other thing that I find fascinating when dealing with doctors is they are trained that one size fits all.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us are highly sensitive to medication, and some people are very resistant to medication. So you have to be aware of what your body does, and then you have to be very clear to whoever's working with you that, no, that's not okay. Now, just because
I'm even working with a healer now. It's been 3 weeks, and I'm going to ask him tomorrow about, you know, what's next.
Well, and one of the things that you certainly might want to look into is some of the electric pulse machines, some of the EMF machines. that when you've got nerve damage or you've got inflamed, irritated nerves, which is sounding what it's like in your back and your foot, and, of course, tinnitus is inflamed nerves as well, when you have the ability to have the EMF, one of the things it does is it rewires the pain map. So it rewires some of the responses. So instead of, you know, the old song, If I Had a Hammer, and, you know, the story, if I had a hammer, every problem would be a nail. What your body's saying is, I'm inflamed. So it needs to have something different that says, no, you're not. Here's how we stop the inflammation. So the EMF type machines, if you can find somebody who does that sort of thing, that would be very worthwhile pursuing.
Okay, I'll check into that.
Yeah. It'll probably help.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thanks for calling, Kathy. Best wishes to you.
Thank you, David.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. I'm going to area code 660. What is your name, please?
Hello. Am I on?
Hi. What's your name?
Hi. This is Renee.
Hi, Renee.
I run an animal sanctuary, and I'm just calling in to say what Kate does is incredible. We run a large animal sanctuary here, and she has made an enormous difference. We have taken in animals that needed healing or psychological counseling. We get the abused and the neglected. That's what we take. And I'm just saying, I can't say enough good about what she can do for your animal. And it's been so worth it, and I'm so very grateful. I feel blessed to have found her.
Oh, that's
Thank
wonderful.
You, Renee. That's so kind.
Well, no, it's just the truth. There have been many situations here that I needed insight into to help these animals, because we are a sanctuary that takes, well, as I said, primarily abused and abandoned animals, and some of them come in sick or some of them get sick later, and we also do wild animal rescue. And so I was trained as a veterinary assistant, and I'm working as a physical therapist, but that's not enough. I need that kind of help that Kate offers, and I strongly advise anyone who needs help and insight to call and work with her, because it opens a world of opportunity to really heal, not just address symptoms, but to truly heal the cause of the problem, and you'll feel so much better that you did everything you could do.
Well, that's great. That's a great testimony, isn't it, Kate?
Yes, it's wonderful. Thank
yes,
you.
I can't say enough good about it. You just have to try it. Experience it for yourself. It makes all the difference, because what we're doing is so difficult, and what she does makes it possible. That's all I can say. Thank you so much. Thank you for doing this broadcast.
My pleasure. I'm glad to have Kate on the show.
Thanks. Goodbye.
Thank
Bye.
Thanks for calling, Renee. Best wishes with all of your work. That's wonderful work. Yeah, that's God's work. That's for sure.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, goodbye. Okay, let's see. Area code 503, what is your name, please?
Hi, this is Claire.
Claire, hi there.
Hi. Well, I'm a testimonial, too.
Oh, okay, that's great.
I have lots of cats, and I am eternally grateful to Kate for everything that she's done for all of them, for all of us, actually. I've had a few in the last couple of years they're pretty much all elderly, and Kate has kindly and compassionately been with all of us every step of the way as they cross over. We'll have the vet here at the house, and Kate will be working with the animal and energetically, and it just eases the entire process to an extent that I just can't explain. And in addition to that, I also have a couple who have been pretty ill, and I know that it's Kate's help that has helped us keep them here and comfortable, because that's also what she does. She not only keeps the works on both the condition that they're dealing with, but also works on their comfort level to a very large degree. And that makes a huge difference in their quality of life as they age, as all of us age, of course. So that's all I have to say. Thank you very much, Kate.
Thank you, Claire.
Thanks, Claire. I appreciate the call. Did you get the impression, Kate, that Kathy also maybe wanted to talk about an animal?
Yes, she said it was herself or her animal, and I said, which one's the higher priority?
Would you like to talk to her again about the animal?
If that's who's next on your list, that's who's next on my list.
That's who's next. Kathy, do you want to... Hi, do you want to talk about one of your animals, Kathy?
Yeah, I have Tinkerbell, who's a cat, and Kiwi's the bird.
Okay,
and
who would you like me to talk to?
I'd say Kiwi.
Okay. Now, what kind of bird?
She's a sun conure.
Oh, okay.
And I've had her for 2 years.
And what's going on?
Well, I just want to know about her. She's a very loving bird, and I wanted to know what she thinks about me.
Okay. Let me go in and see if she'll talk.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, she'll talk. Oh, yeah, let me tell you. La, 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 la. It's like, okay, honey. Hello, you. Okay. Yeah, she, and she's not necessarily telling me this, but what I'm seeing with her is she is good at getting her way. Yeah, I think that was tactfully said. She considers it a game. How can I get her to do what I want her to do? It's what the bird, that's kind of her every morning. How do I get her to do what I want her to do? It's like, okay. Yeah. I'm kind of thinking it might not be the alpha in that particular arrangement. But she is a sweet, sweet bird. She's a nice bird. And birds are interesting compared to the mammals. Because birds, especially when they have been raised in captivity, they don't have as strong identity as something different than people as a cat or a dog has, which is kind of entertaining. That cats and dogs are a cat and a dog. It doesn't matter if they've lived with you for 2 years, 10 years, 15 years, they're a cat, they're a dog. They are different than us. By the way, they do not consider us better than them, just as a side note. But birds don't have that me, you. Birds are not that separated. Birds have more of a you're an odd-looking bird kind of thing. Or you know, we're not quite on the same wavelength, but I'm working on her. She's going to get there. She's going to figure this out. You know, she's going to understand me any minute now. And that is more where Kaylee is. She is more of a, you know, if I just work a little harder, I can get her to understand me. And the nice thing about birds is they actually do, even birds that aren't speakers, birds that aren't talkers, such as a parakeet, they actually have a very high command of language. They have more command of language than the dog or the cat does. Dogs or cats, you know, they're about a 3 or 4 year old level. That's about as far as they go. Whereas a bird, they'll get up to about the 8th grade level. And they understand concepts a little differently than dogs and cats do. And so it's harder to transfer ownership of a bird because of that, because there's not an us, you know, a me, you thing. The bird is part of you, or you are part of the bird, depending upon the day. And so she is, she's a happy bird. She's a very content bird. But again, she's like, okay, today's game is, how do I get her to do what I want? And that's pretty much her mind. I was like, okay.
She's a parrot. What I want to say about her, 3 days a week she has to go upstairs into the bedroom into a cage up there. Because I just don't trust my cat, even though I have a nice cage down here. And I just didn't know if she was lonely for those 3 days a week.
No, she isn't. She isn't.
Oh, good.
That's one of the things that's wonderful about animals. When I first started actually working intently with animals, I discovered one thing. They can't lie. They absolutely will not lie, which is very handy, makes it very easy. But the other thing about animals is they're very much into the isness. They're not into the, well, but, you know, I got to stay downstairs yesterday. Why am I upstairs today? Excuse me a second. They're the isness. The isness is I'm here today. Mm-hmm. And the isness is, okay, what can I do today to entertain myself? Have a really good lock on that cage because she's very smart. And going to figure out, you know, she's working to figure out how to get the cage door unlocked.
Well, where the food bowls are on the side, that's usually open because the food bowls are up top for her. And she crawls out of that, crawls across the table, comes over to the couch. So.
Yeah. She's not big into cages, but again, she's very focused on the is. You know,
uh-huh.
This is the situation, and that's again one of the really wonderful things about animals is they don't ever judge them as good or bad. It's just the isness,
Why do they, like, I had another parrot and he died from upper respiratory, but why do they yell when you leave the room?
Well, their entertainment left.
Yeah.
You know, because we really are their big screen.
Not because she misses me.
No, we're their entertainment. You know, the big screen TV turned off, darn it. And so, you know, we are their entertainment. And, you know, I've worked with a couple animals, a couple birds, where they've pulled their feathers out when they've gotten so stressed.
Yeah.
And they just pulled their feathers out like crazy. And it was funny because all the person had to do was put a mirror behind the cage. And the bird could see themselves in the mirror, and they could have they talk to themselves, they have a chat with themselves. And to them, it's not a reflection, it's another bird.
Mm.
So it's very social, and they're entertaining each other, and they're having a chat with each other. And, you know, I wouldn't necessarily put a mirror every day, but you could put a mirror periodically to give her something else to think about.
Yeah, I used to have one. I guess it broke down here. I'll put one upstairs, you know, she can look at herself when I'm at work. But also she can look out. I have a bird feeder out front. And then in the back.
Oh, so she's got other birds to look at. Good
and in
you.
The back. Yeah, so she looks at, you know, the birds outside all the time. Yeah. But,
well,
you know, I don't think
it's her entertainment. Again, big screen TV. You've given her a big screen TV.
There was another bird like her at the vet, and she wasn't interested.
Interesting. Well, but again, remember, birds don't identify as their own species.
Uh-huh.
Not like an elephant knows it's an elephant. A giraffe knows it's a giraffe. A bison knows it's a bison. Birds
mm-hmm.
consider themselves slightly odd-looking humans, or humans are slightly odd-looking birds. Birds do not have that separation as much
mm-hmm.
as other animals do. And it's interesting because I see it more when I'm dealing with an animal, a bird that has grown up in captivity. When it's a bird that, for whatever horrible reason, because I'm not an advocate of bird trades, but a bird that has grown up in the wild and now is in a cage that mm-hmm. bird knows it is not the same as what's in the building with it. And,
yeah.
and those birds, they have a hard time. They don't generally survive very well. So
well,
that
you know,
is one of the nice adaptations that birds have, is that they've melded more with us than some of other animals.
I had a reading about Hollywood. Why did he leave me, you know? Because he was only 13 years old, and I spent thousands and thousands of dollars on him. I'm talking like over $10,000, taking him back and forth to vets for his upper respiratory. Said he wanted to go back. He was going to reincarnate and come back as a, you know, in the wild.
Oh, interesting. Well, and, you know, they will do that. And there's a book called Same Dog Next Time, and it's a
mm-hmm.
fascinating book. It's nonfiction. And whether you believe or don't believe, it's just an interesting book. And the author had this beloved dog that he adored, and the dog passed away because they just don't last long enough. And several years later, another dog came into his life, and he's like, oh, my gosh, this is the same dog. And I see that. At one point in time, I used to ask animals, how many lifetimes have you had, and how many lifetimes with this person have you had? And by the time I'd been doing it for a year, year and a half, I only had one or two animals that they had not had multiple lifetimes, and they'd not had multiple lifetimes with their people.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and again, I'll run into an animal that this is their first rodeo, literally,
mm-hmm.
it is their first rodeo, and they're hysterical. They're some of the funniest beings on the planet because everything's new, gravity's new, they just don't comprehend. They usually get themselves in a lot of trouble because they can't figure out that this is different than where they were. But, yeah, and I remember asking God one day, because, you know, if you can't fight with God, who can you fight with? And
mm-hmm.
I was not happy because a young animal had passed away. And, you know, to me it seems like a bad plan that humans last for 60, 70, 80 years, and the other animals, depending upon what breed, 5, 6, 7 years. And I thought
yeah.
that was a very bad plan. And so I asked, I said, what's the deal? What's the deal? You know, obviously you've got things better organized than this. What's the deal? And what I got told, which I thought was really interesting, was a twofold thing, that animals are here to serve us. They're here to help us. And to help us in multiple ways. It's very common when I'm working with an animal that they've taken on some of their person's health problems or some of their person's mental issues. They've taken them on because they're trying to help.
I've heard
that.
But
the other thing that was really fascinating was I was told that animals provide almost like a spiral staircase of love. That if you think about it, the animals you had when you were 6, 7, 8, you love them. You love them like a 6, 7, or 8-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And the animals you have now, your ability to love and to love despite everything. You know, by the time you've cleaned up the third upchuck or the fourth pile that isn't where it belongs, it's a little hard sometimes to say, I really do love you. You're a nut, but I really do love you. And so that spiral of love, the animals actually, more so than people, help us up the spiral of love. And, of course, that's one of the things we're here to learn, is to learn love. So it makes sense that the animals don't last as long.
And that's what I was thinking Hollywood was here to teach me, unconditional love.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
One of the things that I've done a bunch of research for a book I'm writing, and one of the things that I'm realizing is one of the fastest growing socioeconomic phenomena in this country is the number of single-person households. And it's not the elderly, not just the elderly. We're seeing it everywhere from the 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, single-person households. And part of it is because we're so bombarded with stimuli all day long that we need a cave. We need to have a cave we can go to. And one of the side effects of that is the increase in animal companions.
You're right. I see that where I work in Arlington, Virginia. You know, there's a lot of single people, and they all have dogs.
Mm-hmm. Because, and again, the unconditional love. You know, they don't care if you're 15 pounds overweight, They don't care if your hair looks like a mouse nested in it. They don't care. And that, it would be lovely if we were all better at that as humans, but we're not. And it's like I saw a sign today that said, "Dear Lord, let me be the person my dog thinks I am." And, you know, that's absolutely. But that's the thing, is animals definitely help nudge us into being aware of unconditional love. And unconditional love means even when you've cleaned up the upchuck and even when you've cleaned up the piles, you still love and adore the animal.
Right.
That is one of the things. And, yeah, your bird may have just decided, okay, I'm done with this round. I want to do something different. But, again, the love is never wasted. And I run across people every now and again that they've lost an animal. I'm never having another animal. And I just look at them and smile because 90% of them are animal. But
you can't
and the
feel
thing
that
is
way,
that, you know,
right?
The love of the animal you had has never been wasted.
I know. I lost my dog, my cat and my bird the same year, and I went out and found a cat, and then the bird just came to me from a friend of a friend, you know. So, yeah, they find me.
Well, and I always love it when people tell me, oh, I picked out the dog or I picked out the cat. And it's like, you know, you didn't. You put yourself in the place where there were dogs or there were cats, but the animal picks you. And an animal that ends up someplace they don't want to be or they don't belong, that animal will remove themselves. You know, that's when you get the lost animal, the runaway animal, et cetera. They are very smart about going where they need to be and where they want to be.
Wow. I never knew that either. Right.
Oh, yeah. And one of the things that I've run into, you know, when I was talking about an animal grieving themselves to death, and they absolutely will grieve themselves to death, I have known animals that have committed suicide. And people are like, well, that can't possibly happen. It's like, oh, yeah, they can. Absolutely they can. Because they are sentient beings. They're very smart.
Mm-hmm.
And if they decide that if something is, the grief is just overwhelming, they can't cope with it, they will leave.
Wow. That's amazing.
Well, and it's interesting when I run across veterinarians, and I am by no means anti-vet. I think the world of veterinarians, 99% of them are phenomenal. But I've had that conversation with veterinarians, and veterinarians I highly respected. And they're like, oh, that's not possible. And I look at them going, wow.
Mm.
That's right up there with a conversation I had with someone a couple years ago who told me that all cats are exactly alike.
Oh, no.
And so that's, and I looked at her and said, you've met one cat.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't even understand what I meant.
Yeah. All different personalities.
Mm-hmm. Just like humans. That's like saying all 5-year-olds are just alike. They're not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Kathy, unless you have anything else, I've got a question for Kate.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. It's on this topic of animals coming back to you.
Uh-huh.
I have a lot of pets. I have 5 cats and 2 dogs. But there's one cat that I'm interested in you asking if she's been with me before. It's my sense that she has been, perhaps more than once. And her name is Samantha, and she's a little butterball of a kitty. She's 13 years old, and she's a striped kitty cat with medium length fur, very, very fluffy kitty.
Well, and what's funny, as you were talking about her and you were identifying her in your mind, she came through.
Does
and when you said butterball, she was offended.
Oh,
so you might
not dear.
Want to butterball.
Well,
I have
that's
one
another
that we refer to as puddle of fur because she's a very large cat. So we refer to her as a puddle of fur. But let me see what Samantha has. And the thing you have to remember is they may have come back to you in this lifetime, they may have come back to you in other lifetimes. So that's one of the things, because souls and. I'm astonished the number of people who ask me, well, do animals have souls? Yeah, they do. Okay, in this lifetime, she's been with you one other time.
Okay.
She says, yes, I have been with him, but it's only been one other time.
Okay.
When you were fairly young, like school, you were living at home in school when she was with
really?
You.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's not the kitty I thought she was.
Nope.
Huh.
Nope. Yeah. And
okay.
She was like, we didn't get to finish. We didn't get to finish our work, is what she said.
Mm-hmm.
So when
mm-hmm.
you were a kid, evidently she passed away fairly young for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think
well, that cat lived to be 12, and she passed away when I was 21. I was thinking she was a kitty that I had adopted when I was 24, that only lived 2 years. She was hit by a car, and it was back in the days when I didn't have the sensibility about keeping cats inside.
And again, we all have evolved with how we treat our animals dramatically from what we did in the 60s. I was talking to a dear friend yesterday, and she was saying, you know, we didn't used to do this. And we were talking about a particular disease, and she said, we didn't used to do this. I never heard of this before. And I said, I grew up where there weren't even veterinarians in most towns.
Mm.
There was a veterinarian in the county, and you drove
mm-hmm.
90 miles. You took the cat or the dog or the, you know, whatever into it. But no, this kitty, no, this is, she knows about the other cat, but she said, no, this is the kitty you had when you were much younger and that you two
okay.
didn't get to finish the lesson.
Well, that could well be. Yeah. I went off to college. We have one other caller that made it in under the wire. Shall we take the call?
Absolutely.
Okay. Area code 706, what is your name, please?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. My name is Marie. How are you today?
Hi, Marie. Good.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm doing excellent. I'm doing excellent. Yeah, my night is even better because you guys are having this show.
I'm glad you called.
Yeah. Oh, my God. This is a blessing. I just love animals, and I love your guest, the lady that's talking about how she's connected, with the animals and I myself, you know, over in my lifetime, especially now, I'm becoming more and more aware of animals because I see also that I can connect with them and communicate with them. So anyway,
did you have a question for Kate?
Yes, I do. Kate, hi. How are you?
I'm doing great, Marie. How can I help you?
Yes. I have two questions about two different animals I had in the past. One of them was a cat. And
what was the kitty's name?
His name was Sinatra.
Okay.
So I want to know, did you see that how broken I was when he passed away? And I'm so sorry that I couldn't, you know that he was dying. Basically, he was poisoned, and I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I've lost a cat to poisoning, and it's horrible.
Yeah. And so how is he doing? You know, is he, I have a feeling that he's going to come back again. And when will that be? And is he going to come back as a cat? Because I would love for him to,
you know,
spend.
Well, and this is the thing that's interesting is, you know, we would love to have him come back because I've had, you know, some of my cats
yeah.
please come back. And I had one cat that was, I loved her. I loved her dearly. And she didn't come back. She didn't leave me. It was very interesting. A couple years mm-hmm. after she passed, I would feel her jump on the bed when I would take a nap. And out of the corner of my eye, I would see her.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't leave me. She stayed with me for about 5 more years when I got to the point where I was strong enough that she could let me go. And that, of course, is always the thing, is that we, you know, our animals want us to be strong enough that we can let them go. Because they've got work to do. You know, they've done their work, and now they get to go do something else. They get to be with somebody else. So that's the first thing. And not all animals come back, just like not all people come back. Because, you know, honestly, it's not really all that much fun sometimes here. It kind of sucks. And so they may say, you know, I won't leave you, but I don't need to come back and be with you for you to get the blessing. And it's interesting, you know, there's all kinds of medium shows on television, this, that, and the other one, and people are always so astonished that the people know what's going on in their lives. Well, so do the animals. They know what's going on with us. And it's, you know, sometimes you just have to say, give me a sign. Give me a sign that you're still with me. And you might say, show me something purple, show me something pink, show me a butterfly, which a butterfly in the middle of June is not that hard to do. A butterfly in February is a whole lot harder. But if you're awake and alert, they will quite often do that. They will quite often give you a sign that you're not alone. And that, I think, is the hardest thing when we lose a person or we lose an animal. It's like, but I just want to talk to them. I just want to pet them. I just want to, you know, give me 5 minutes with them so that they know how much I love them. And the thing is, they know. They know how much you love them. This is the cool thing about animals. They read our hearts. And I had somebody ask me a couple of weeks ago, aren't you ever afraid? Because sometimes, you know, I'm working with some pretty big, pretty powerful animals. You know, a dog or a cat can be doggone dangerous in the first place. But when you're starting to play with wildebeests and giraffes and things like that, you can get munched. And I, you know, I was kind of surprised they even asked me. And they're like, well, why are you surprised? I said, because the animal knows me. They know my energy. And they can read my intent. They know I'm never going to hurt them. And it's like, since I'm never going to hurt you, you don't have no reason to hurt me. And animals do believe in fairness. That's one of the things I adore about animals. They are very, very clear about fairness. And if you're being gentle with them, they will do their darndest to be gentle with you. You know, occasionally I get bumped around and banged around. I was working with some bison a few months ago, and I got in the wrong spot, and a couple of the bison crowded me. And, yeah, I got bruised, but they apologized. They apologized for hurting me. So, again, they're very, very strong advocates of fairness. And when it comes to kitties, anybody coming back, it's really not fair for us to ask them to do that. Because, again, as I said, it's not all that much fun here some days. So if we just are able to connect to them and say, thank you for still being with me, or thank you for the lessons you taught me, and I can let you go now. And I have that conversation with clients on a regular basis. Is this kitty or dog hanging in there for my sake? And sometimes the answer is absolutely yes. The animal is in terrible shape. The animal is in terrible pain. But they don't think you're strong enough to cope with them being gone. So they will soldier on, bless their hearts, until they think you're strong enough. And part of my job, part of my work, is to help the people understand, you know, your animal's not abandoning you. Your animal is just going into a different form. And you're okay. You're okay. It stinks, and you're okay. So that's, and the thing is, again, with that spiral of love, with each animal that comes in, we go a little higher up that spiral of love. And as human beings, that's our goal. And the animals just help us get there. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because he'll pop in every once in a, you know, blue moon. And
I'm sorry, Louie, and what you just said.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I say he, you know, he'll pop in sometimes, you know, and I can feel him,
And that's the thing, you know, they don't have the strength and the power to maintain it, but they'll pop in to check. And they'll pop in and pop out. And like I said, out of the corner of your eye, you'll see a flash, and it's like, I just saw so-and-so. It's like, and then you look, and there's nothing there. It's like, oh, well, thank you for visiting, because that's what they did. They came by for a visit.
Yeah.
And then you had a dog. What's going on with the dog? Tell me about the dog.
Oh, it's the most wonderful because she passed away like a long, long time ago, but believe it or not, you know, she's back again, you know, and I'm having the time of my life, you know, with her, you know what I mean? And it's another dog, you know, when I look, you know, at her and I see the
yeah.
other one, it was, it was just amazing, and she just gave me a second chance, too.
Yes. Again, maybe your work was done. Have you read the book A Dog's Purpose by Bruce Cameron?
No.
The movie's out there. There's a movie out about it. I've read the book, and I've seen the movie both. And even though I've read the book, there still was a place in the movie where I teared up a little bit. But it's, you know, it's not scientific. It's not deep philosophy.
Yeah.
But it's just an interesting book of what happens when dogs pass and they come back to a new environment. And, you know, maybe the dog lives 15 years in this lifetime. Maybe the dog lives 3 years in this lifetime. And, again, animals, because they don't have the fear of death and they don't have the reaction to death, it's just like we're going through that door, coming through this door, going through that door, coming through this door. So it's much easier. The one thing I do, I happen to have a cat that looks very, very much like a cat that I lost shortly before this one was born, and their birthday is the same day. And so it's kind of tempting to say, oh, it's the same cat. She came back. And, again, animals have the right. You have to let the animal be the animal. And they're not. They're very distinctly different animals. And so I have to give the second cat the right to be who she is and not try to fit her into the mold of what the first cat was.
Yeah. So, but I'm glad, you know, the cat is okay, you know. And,
the cat is fine. And death by poisoning, that is really a hideous, hideous thing. And I'm not sweetness and light about that. I would love to have the people who do that kind of stuff pay dearly for being that cruel.
Yeah, I know. That was heartbroken, because when he died, it was like, oh, my God, he green stuff came out of his ears.
That's horrible. It's horrible. And the thing is, as a loving person and a loving pet parent, whatever phrase you want to use, it breaks our heart that we couldn't protect them. We couldn't protect them enough to protect them from that. And that, it's very hard. It's very hard.
Yeah, that was the guilt that was carrying me throughout the years.
Sinatra's great and your dog's back, so that's way cool. Enjoy it.
Yes.
Good time. Good for you.
Anyway, so that's what I wanted to share with you and, you know, and ask you and things like that. So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you made it, Ray.
Yeah, but thanks for doing that show. I am so grateful. Yeah.
Okay. And Kate's going to be back on again in October, October 12th, I believe it is.
Yes, sir. That's what we said.
She's got a book coming out, so she's going to be talking about that. So feel free to tune in again then and let your friends know. And I thank you very much, Kate, for coming on the show today.
Thank you, David. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yes, likewise. So once again, we come to a close. Let's pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Have a great week and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night, Kate.
Good night, David. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. God bless.